It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 24th day of August 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn Chat Room, the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. And thank you for downloading it. I need to thank you. Every one of you who are part of this community, thank you for making it what it is. Because it is something unlike anything going on anywhere else. We band of siblings. It is a special community. It really, really is. And I have to extend profound thanks because obviously the program is here. The program is here because you were there, and we still have, oh my God, I've still got hair-raising bills that I have to deal with, but the one that, well, paid three of them, three down, three to go, and well, the fundraising goal sits, well, we'll get there because every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so thanks go out to our 24th day of the month subscribers. And that means we say thank you to David. Thank you, David. Are you David? Are you David in Oregon now, or David for? Don't confuse me. But thank you, David. And thank you to Josh, and thank you to Pam in Washington State. Thank you to Samson so very much. Thank you all so much for helping to keep this little independent broadcast operation on the air. We're about $1,100 from being fully funded. So that means we've caught all the way up to last Friday. We've got $200 of last Friday and then this week. And, of course, Wednesday will be the last day of August. So we've got beyond this program, one, two, three, we got five broadcast days. And so that means the total, but the hole we're in is at $1,100. And I'm not entirely breathing easy yet, but I'm breathing much easier. And thank you, thank you, thank you, one and all, for that tremendous effort. And thanks to those of you who do things like putting up challenges. Thank you, thank you. Now, okay, so it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and you know, there's some prayer meeting Wednesday sort of stuff, I guess. But I want to start somewhere else because I had one of those little aha moments over the course of the last 24 hours. And I want to see if it's an aha moment for everybody. And naturally, it has to do with Nitwit Nero and his document problem. And, of course, later on we'll get into last night's primary results. This was pretty much the last big state primary day. There's like four more primaries remaining. New Hampshire's one of them. This was in conjunction or part of or the result of an off-air conversation I had with Joy in Ann Arbor, because she's the one who flipped the switch that turned on the light bulb for me and created the oh my God moment. By way of setup, do you remember how we have talked for literally years about the curious fact that back when the WikiLeaks release of DNC emails went out that, you know, convinced a bunch of people who live under bell jars at Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium, ODD, that there was a pizza joint in D.C. where they were doing the child sex trafficking in the basement, even though the pizza joint didn't have a basement, and Hillary Clinton was out there drinking blood, and Huma Abedin was, you know, wearing children's faces, and you know, all of that cue ball garbage. A lot of that got a lot of energy via the WikiLeaks release of the hacked DNC emails. And another fact salient to that was that at the time it was first announced years ago, and check me here, I count on y'all to make sure that I'm not going all Alex Jones and talking about transgender frogs or monkey jellyfish hybrids for sale in the wet markets of old Kowloon. But this doesn't feel quite that paranoid. And so the question is, remember how when they hacked the DNC, they also hacked the RNC? Only WikiLeaks only released the DNC side of it. And we wondered from time to time over the course of years what kind of compromise must surely have been in the RNC side. And we speculated that Mother Russia would have a vested interest not in releasing that information, but to use it as compromise, as leverage. And that seemed, I mean, you know, there's association is not causation, and coincidence is not causation. But it certainly seemed a plausible explanation for the increasingly bizarre behavior of people like, oh, for instance, Lady G down in South Carolina stand, shivering under the fainting couch. But it also explained all kinds of Republican behavior. The fact that they had that these Republicans may have been quietly informed that there was an entire tranche. That word. I don't know. But there was a treasure trove of compromising information about Republicans. And we wondered who had it. And now that we see that Nitwit Nero is in court saying, don't let them read, the FBI can't read the secret stuff, only I can read secret stuff, I am the reader of secret things, demanding that his lawyers tell the FBI how to behave. Right? Well, that's when the light bulb went on. You gotta wonder. Gotta wonder if some of those documents might be the long-lost, purloined RNC emails and have oodles and oodles and oodles of compromising information about Nitwit Nero and the people who do his orange bidding. Because, among other things, the Washington Post reported yesterday, FBI's Mar-a-Lago search followed months of resistance, delay by Trump. And it goes on to lay out a theory that Nitwit Nero's inner circle of advisors feared that he was trying to dare the FBI to come and get him. So the Post reports Donald Trump's lawyers received ominous news in an April 12th email from the National Archives. The FBI would soon examine sensitive documents the former president had reluctantly returned to the government from his Florida club 3 months earlier. The communication, which has been reviewed by the Washington Post, was a crucial pivot point in the probe of Trump's handling of classified documents that led to the dramatic search of his Mar-a-Lago club earlier this month. And then going back to what we discussed on Moran Monday, those 27 pages of abject pettifogging idiocy filed by whatever the latest gang of admiralty lawyers he scrounged up submitted. In a legal filing on Monday, Trump's lawyers insisted that he had been cooperating with Justice Department requests. In fact, however, the narrative they laid out, as well as other documents and interviews, show that Trump ignored multiple opportunities to quietly resolve the FBI concerns by handing over all classified material in his possession, including a grand jury subpoena that Trump's team accepted May 11th. Grand jury subpoena. If you or I had been ignoring a grand jury subpoena since May the 11th, I don't think we would have gotten to ignore it. Just saying. Again and again, he reacted with a familiar mix of obstinance and outrage, causing some in his orbit to fear he was essentially daring the FBI to come after him. And the Washington Post goes on to say it was a tortured standoff. So there's obviously some highly significant information in there. But it strikes me that while his behavior is just pig-headed and you know, stupidly Trumpian, that there must be something he really doesn't want seen. Not because it relates to the good of the nation or national security, but because it might pull the rubber mask off Scooby-Doo style and expose him for the treasonous criminal that he most assuredly is. Yeah, I know. Same here, Steve. Steve in New York says, grand jury subpoena? My spidey sense just went to 11, May 11th. I see what you did there. And, of course, the grand jury said, you don't need a grand jury subpoena to recover documents that he stole. You just get the search warrant that they got. The Washington Post article is something less than clear as to who was the subpoena was directed to, but it seems to me that it's the intent of or the way that it was written is that it was a grand jury subpoena to him. in which case, well, have there been court proceedings over quashing that subpoena? I mean, you, me, we all pay pretty close attention to all of this. And I haven't seen anything about any court proceedings to try to quash a subpoena of a former president of the United States of America. Because I got to think that that would garner a little bit of notice. Dramatic. Suman in Arizona stand says, don't you think the WAPO should stop using words like dramatic? The FBI was just doing its job. That, too, after months of pleading and begging the orange ass. You reckon the WAPO would use phrases like dramatic search if they searched my house or yours? No, no, and, you know, maybe it was dramatic. Maybe because it's Mayor de Lardass. By the way, that's the new, I added Mayor instead of Mar. Mayor de Lardass. Which kind of fits, really. Yeah. Query from Ron and Raleigh. How many pecs in an oodle? I'm asking for a shipping clerk friend. Oh, no, no. Bushels and bushels. That's how many. Yeah. So just food for thought. I'd be interested in what you think about that. Because I tried to think back to all the times that we said, well, that, you know, I mean, we know what we think about with, say, Precious Lindsay, what kind of compromise that might be. The whole National Ruble Association thing. Because they were de facto. The NRA was a de facto, what, and subsidiary of the Republican Party. Wouldn't that be wild? I mean, wouldn't that just make you sit back in your chair? Whoa! You know, with that sort of that one of those faces that Christopher Lloyd made so famously when he was on Taxi and then in Back to the Future. Oh, you know the one. Steve in New York says, this has the feel of the DOJ just wanting these docs so they can confirm what they have already concluded. And that opens up an entire other can of worms insofar as, you know, like I said, the primary season is very nearly over. It'll be over next week, I think. And there were some interesting results last night, but with the primary season opens, the bottom line is that traditionally, general election campaign season opens Labor Day weekend. Barbecues and picnics and whatnot. And that we run from September to November in a fervid madness of general election campaigning. And so I guess that means that there will, if there is to be an indictment or any other kind of legal action, it probably will not happen until after the November election. And it's, and yet, along the way, apparently a grand jury continues to do its work. And I don't know when the term, the grand jury term ends for whatever court is engaging in that investigation. The grand jury, Steve says, as Casey Kasem put it, it's ponderous, man. Fucking ponderous. It is. It'll make your brain hurt and your liver quiver. And I think there's sort of some traumatic stress for a lot of the country. There's some traumatic stress associated with just constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. When it feels like it should be, you know, raining Jimmy Choo's out there. Oh, and yeah, by the way, I got this from Reverbo earlier today. After last night's To the Pangolin Cave remark, Reverbo said today, "And how's the grilled pangolin tonight, Raul? The chef says it's a bit pungent, sir." Adding, "You started this." Oh, I did. I did, Reverbo. I know. It's a bit pungent. "Shall we play a game?" Lee in New York writes, "Why not guess what Trump is hiding that can never be seen? I'll start. Get out of the U.S. free card from Kim Jong-un. Trump's receipts for putting his cash assets in rubles. Eric Trump's birth certificate. The one-star reviews of Trump's hotels, and I'll add Trump wine. And Trump's facial makeup palette. I love going to Ulta and Sephora now, but I've never seen a palette with that shade on it. And if it was, maybe it was eyeshadow and not an actual foundation. Ugh. But, yeah. That should be secret, Lee. That really, really should be. And, like I said, the last night's elections, kind of a mixed bag. Ron Monkey Up DeClantis will, of course, be the incumbent in Florida. And we talked last night about how Nikki Fried, the Commissioner of Agriculture there in Florida, and a Democrat, was going up against Charlie Crist. And that turned out to not even be close. Charlie Crist thumped Nikki Fried. And so he will be the long-shot Democratic nominee to take on Ron Monkey Up DeClantis. Marco Rubio will face off against Val Demings. Please, Florida, please have the good sense to send little Marco off to be a missionary somewhere. Seems to tweets a lot of Bible verses. I think he'd probably enjoy that more. But Charlie Crist is going to be the Democratic nominee against Ron Monkey Up DeClantis. And Charlie Crist, well, his support for reproductive freedom is not the best. But he's going to have to get a lot better if he wants to motivate people to come out and vote to save Florida from Ron Monkey Up DeClantis. So there's that. Up in New York, in a special election in the Hudson Valley, that came off as a real surprise. The 19th District special general election, so this doesn't go on to November, featured a Democrat by the name of Pat Ryan versus a Republican named Mark Molinaro. And much to the surprise of a lot of New York politics watchers, doggone it, Pat Ryan beat Mark Molinaro. And guess what? Pat Ryan campaigned significantly on reproductive freedom. Mark Molinaro, on the other hand, the Republicans, campaigned on Joe Biden causing all of that there inflationaries. And Pat Ryan took it by 51.1% but to 48.9%. And coupled with contests in, like, recently in Minnesota and Nebraska, and the Republicans, their red tsunami doesn't look quite so tsunami-ish for November. One Republican strategist quoted by Politico texted, "Well, shit." Because maybe they have awakened a sleeping giant and filled her with a terrible resolve. So, that's telling. I'm wondering, by the way, can somebody tell me how did the Nadler Maloney primary come out? I did not see that earlier today. Curiously, in that race in New York's 19th district, the Republican wasn't necessarily a maggot, which is kind of surprising. And something that we talked about last night, a candidate, Carl P. Paladino, you know, the Nazi fan. Oh, thank you, Lee in New York. Jerry Nadler won. Good. Good. Thank you, Darlene. Carl P. Paladino, who was heartily endorsed by Elise Stupidnik, lost. Good. Good. The maggot lost in that, the Buffalo developer, Carl Paladino, did not make it out of his primary. And that makes Elise Stefanik look something less than brilliant, primarily because she's not brilliant. And maybe it did her some political damage. Oh, and by the way, talking about Nitwit Nero's documents, FBI agents have gone so far as to say that when the FBI agents searched Merida Lardass, they found national security documents laying around. They found highly sensitive and classified documents lying in unsecure places outside the storage room. And they were tipped off by at least one person familiar with the location of the documents at the complex. And that was the tip that led to them seeking the search warrant. So that's in the, you know, that's in the mix. And I did not, I didn't get to it the other day. I should have, but a court in Florida has temporarily, at least temporarily, blocked Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis' woke act. And so that's, good. Among other things, the judge hearing the case said that the Woke Act violates the First Amendment and includes a naked viewpoint-based regulation on speech. Because it does. That was U.S. District Court Judge Mark E. Walker, who said that Ron DeSantis in the state of Florida had turned the First Amendment upside down and is trying to win an argument by muzzling its opponents. So maybe there's a... Maybe they'll still teach a little bit of history here and there in Florida. Can we hope? Can we dare to dream? We shall see. And here's a little language moment. Oh, wait a minute. Steve says, Eric's birth certificate. Confirmation that he is, in fact, an animal-human hybrid. Monkey jellyfish, Steve? Somebody get Alex Jones on the blower. But, no, I said, I mentioned a language moment. I saw a story today, and I'm going to, you know, the practice known as swatting is dangerous. Very dangerous. And quite often, when someone swats someone they don't like, horrible things happen to the people who get swatted. Like, you know, they get murdered by the police. If you're not familiar with the concept, and I trust you are, swatting is so called because someone will place a false accusation call to 911 and say that, for instance, there's a hostage situation in a home and there's a gunman, and then police, being police, respond in force because they have no way of knowing whether the report is true or not. And so they show up with their, you know, armored vehicles and their machine guns and break down their you know, their battering rams, and they, all too often do grievous harm to people who have done nothing wrong. Well, I mention all that because Marginal Trailer Queen got swatted. Yeah, Rome, Georgia. And the SWAT team showed up at her home because someone had called and said there was a hostage situation there, and, you know, it being Marginal Trailer Queen's home and her being a Congress creep. They took it as seriously as they should have and showed up in force, and she told them there was absolutely nothing wrong. And so that, you know, I mean, I can't. I can't condone that. I feel bad about giggling over it, so I'm going to try not to giggle. But it sure does seem like, considering the misery that she has foisted on so many others, it feels a little like the chickens coming home to roost. She has spewed hate and filth from even before the moment that she took the oath of office, which means, of course, nothing to her, the oath. The whole thing went down early this morning, about 1 a.m. A 911 call referenced to a subject being shot multiple times. That, according to the police assistant chief, Debbie Burnett of Rome, Georgia. Then the cops showed up, and they discovered upon showing up that it was the home of Marginal Trailer Queen. who then assured the officers there was no issue and the call was determined to be a false call, commonly known as swatting. And after the first SWAT call, a second call came through from the swatter, who was using a computer-generated voice stating that they were upset about Marginal Trailer Queen, oh God, here we go, attacking trans kids. Because, as mentioned, she introduced a horrifying bill. It won't go anywhere. I mean, it doesn't even have any committees she sits on. For the moment. God, if the Republicans get hold of the House in November, they'll probably make her the chair of the Ways and Means Committee. Because she is mean. And she does lift weights. See how it works? But this will be used as further proof that those horrible transes are out there swatting poor Marginal Trailer Queen. The bill she introduced would make it illegal for medical schools to teach medical students about hormone therapy. No, really. And I got to figure, I'm trying to figure out how anybody's ever going to be an endocrinologist again if medical students can't learn about how hormones work in the body. You see, the thing is, if you're teaching what, say, testosterone does to a guy, it doesn't matter if that guy is trans or cis. It works the same way in all instances. And the same for things like estrogen, progesterone, does the same thing in cis women than it does in trans women. Sometimes we would like it to do a little bit more, but we have to be patient. But that having been said, she also wants to make it illegal to provide gender-affirming care for any trans kid in the country. And gender-affirming care isn't just drugs. I mean, that's, you know, there's social aspects. There's things like therapy and counseling. So the swatter didn't take kindly to that. And decided to annoy her. And I hope the swatter understands that they have made life harder, not better, for people that they purport to care about. Steve says, I too feel uncomfortable giggling over it. As a result, I'm going to guffaw loudly. I understand. But this is actually a journalism story and not a... it's not about trans stuff. Because deep in the article, this paragraph. Green, and this comes from CNN, okay? I would hope better, but, well, you know, my hopes have been dashed so many times, and the art of knowing words is not widely practiced anymore, it seems. This is a quote. Green, whose time in Congress often has been defined by her combative and incendiary comments. Can we just use hateful? Can we use hateful, CNN? I think hateful is an appropriate word here. Has faced criticism for her anti-transgender remarks in the past. Last week, she introduced a bill that would make it a felony to provide certain so-called gender-affirming medical care to transgender minors. This is language. This is a journalism and language issue. Gender, you use the term in journalism, you use the term so-called when the veracity of the thing that is being modified by so-called is in question, when it might be false. For instance, in baseball, you would never say the so-called infield fly rule, because there's nothing spurious about it. It might be confusing, but it's real. It is a real rule of Major League Baseball. You might say the so-called wine produced at Trump, if you meant to be insulting about that god-awful rotten grape juice they produce. Or, I mean, I think you get the gist. Donald Trump and his so-called big brain, get it? But the thing is, gender-affirming medical care is a term of art. It is a technical term. It is a term that was coined by the medical community to describe the overarching umbrella of care for gender non-conforming people. For instance, you would not say, I would hope CNN would never publish an article that refers to so-called cancer care or so-called cardiac care. Or, so, you know, this is a great example. If, on the one hand, you're talking about the fact that Dr. Oz and former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate Mike Huckabee, if you were discussing the fact that they have hustled cinnamon as a diabetes cure, clearly fraudulent, clearly spurious, you might write so-called diabetes cure. If, however, you are a responsible journalist and you're writing about, say, $1,400 a month insulin, you don't say so-called diabetes treatment insulin, because it is a medical fact that some diabetics who become brittle require insulin in order to keep on being living people. And yet here we are, and who are you who wrote this? Melissa Alonso at CNN throws in it just felt like just a little, you know, finger in the eye. So-called gender-affirming medical care. So maybe it's not real? Well, it's certainly not real to marginal trailer queen. But it is very real to the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American College of Psychiatry, the American Endocrine Society. And this is just bad journalism. And I'm looking at it on my little screen right now. And when I read it the first time, I got down and klaxons went off. Warning, warning, bad journalism, warning, please leave the area. And so, you know, I fired off a note. Probably sound as bit like as big a crank as John from Nine Mile Falls, Washington, on Washington Journal yesterday. Oh, I didn't know that. Randy Radar tells me Ceylon-sourced cinnamon is the only type of cinnamon that doesn't contain a bad chemical component. It still doesn't cure diabetes. You know, you might use so-called super beets, right? When they're just beets. It's just beets. But it's just a matter of, and I think what I'm getting at here, I'm using this as a vehicle, this story, where the editor should have looked at Allison and said, you know, Allison, I think we can do without the so-called there. It's an actual real therapy. But maybe the copy editor was drunk today. I don't know. But this is a vehicle for thinking about how we consume information. And maybe I'm overthinking it and overtalking it. But I think about what the impact of putting so-called in front of something does to the not particularly conscious of what they're reading consumer of information. Does that make sense? And I would have noticed it in any other context too. I mean, if I saw so-called insulin treatment for diabetes, I might have shrieked and gone all the way through the ceiling on that. And I got to wonder if that's what's coming. I wonder if Allison might be a little right-wingy, though.
Police said the incident is under investigation and did not release any additional information. The incident comes amid heightened concerns about threats to high-profile political figures and election officials. In the wake of former President Donald Trump's false claims about the 2020 presidential election, election workers nationwide have reported a spike in threats and harassment. And in June, a man was charged with the attempted murder of Justice Brett Kavanaugh outside his Maryland residence. Bullshit! The dude called himself in. He wasn't anywhere near Brett Kavanaugh's home. I mean, he was outside Brett Kavanaugh's residence in Maryland to the same extent that you are. Or I am. Or the Dalai Lama is.
Last year, U.S. Capitol Police reported a 107% increase in threats against members of Congress this year compared to 2020.
Funny, she doesn't say so-called threats now, does she? Or how about so-called attempted murder?
Lee in New York says, so-called. Don't tell me that Wile E. Coyote is a so-called super genius.
That's perfect, too. Wile E. Coyote, so-called super genius. I like that.
The same thing. Ron in Raleigh says, so how about hormone replacement therapy for postmenopausal women? Unintended, maybe? Yeah, the law of unintended. You can't
teach that without teaching how hormones work on the human body. So that's got to go too.
This is who they are. Ralph says maybe you should apply to CNN as a proofreader. No, they don't. It doesn't. I don't think they even have those anymore. If the computer
grammar check and spell check doesn't catch it, it flies. You could probably walk into CNN headquarters in Atlanta and not find a blue pencil in the entire place. That's what a copy editor uses, a blue pencil. Or at least used to. Now it's all done on, I guess, computers. I like paper sometimes. Oh, and by the way, Ralphs said, I'll kick in $20 if someone else kicks in $20. And that would get us down below the $1,100 mark. The next bill is about $1,000. And it is eminently due. So, thank you, Ralphs. If somebody's got $20, Ralphs will double it for you. Ralphs is so kind. Thank you. Irish Dave with an observation. If the Orange Menace stole our classified documents to aid his own self in writing his memoirs, what happened to his so-called perfect memory? I have a perfect memory. It's a photogenic memory. Like a steel trap. Steve in New York says, I'm getting pissed at you. Stop apologizing about talking about trans stuff. It's a passion of yours, and you need to be illuminating the sick treatment the right is foisting upon trans people, especially trans kids and their parents. If Roe has taught us anything, it's that these are not women's issues or trans issues. These are human issues. Well, Dobbs. You know, then that's another thing. We seem to refer more to the overturning of Roe than we refer to the name of the case. That case needs to go down in infamy. As does the name of the creep who's on it. Dobbs versus Women's Reproductive Health Center. Dobbs. Who is this asshole Dobbs? Roe was a made-up name. And we talk about Roe and we don't talk about Wade. Dobbs. The Dobbs decision is what rendered over half of this country women of all sorts non-persons. Haven't said this in a while. From the moment of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of. Well, I do apologize, Steve. I do apologize because I know there's a lot of people that don't want to hear it. Doesn't matter. Not important to them. And it's, you know, part of the change, part of the negative changes that this program has gone through, especially in the last year. So I self-censor. I try not to bring so many of those stories to the front. Because it's not, I guess it's not interesting enough. What I want to know, Ron and Raleigh asks, is when the fuck did judges get to determine proper medical treatment? I know that a lot of lawyers and judges are a bunch of jumped up self-important jagoffs, but all these judges making medical decisions vis-a-vis abortion, a judge decided that a woman whose fetus was developing without a skull couldn't have an abortion. Being black is hard enough, but being a black woman is worse. You're not wrong. The medical term is anencephalic, and the judge decided that no, she couldn't have she needed to carry that skull-less baby to term, deliver it, and then watch it die in agony, rather than her having a humane procedure that was kinder to both mother and fetus. But that's the sort of thing we ask of judges now. Because we clearly can't be asking it of politicians. Because, well, they're beholden to people who don't know much about nothing and are damn proud of it, but they love life. See how it works? Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Thomas, so very much. Thomas just met Ralph's $20 challenge, so we are now down to $10.60. $10.60 to go in fundraising. Thank you. On the other hand, Dave points out, we include Ferguson in Plessy versus Ferguson. Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, yeah. And Thomas E. Dobbs is the state health officer with the Mississippi State Department of Health as of 2018. Yeah, remember Dobbs. Yeah, well, they are doctors, Dave. Aren't judges usually holders of Juris Doctor degrees and shit? I'm one of those. Call me Dr. Robin. Hunter S. Thompson always enjoyed being called Dr. Thompson. And, of course, Dr. Evil said, I didn't spend 6 years in Evil Medical School for you to call me Mr. A novel notion. Let doctors and their patients determine medical decisions. I know, crazy, right? Yeah, it shouldn't be... Nothing of the political should touch these decisions. If they are based upon sound science... And do, well, don't even need to make the argument, but yeah. And yet here we are, and judges get asked to rule these things. I mean, and it's not really particularly new. There was a Supreme Court case years back where... A person who would die without, I think, a bone marrow transplant tried to compel someone who had a match to donate bone marrow, and the person who had the match said, no, not going to do it. Don't have to. Don't want to. Supreme Court ultimately ruled that you could not compel someone to do that. And yet, somehow or another, that decision managed to get ignored in Dobbs. Okay, Randy, that's not the Thomas that I mentioned. That's a different Thomas. Haven't heard from Thomas over at FYINation.com for a while. I hope he's okay. I see he's posting to Facebook every now and then. So that all just sort of gets us started for this prayer meeting Wednesday. And, of course, whatever you want to bring to the conversation, you are welcome so to bring. And I encourage you so to do. Naturally, I mentioned the swatting incident. It would go almost without saying, but, of course, it can't. Marginal Trailer Queen is, I'm sure, already fundraising off of the incident. Because, of course, she is. Marginal Trailer Queen also said to Fox 5 Atlanta that it was traumatizing. I don't care what political party you are. This is evil. This is not okay. And I'll find out who swatted my house, and I'll do everything in my power to bring them to justice.
Don't work too hard on it, Rome Police Department, okay? Floyd County Police Department. And, of course, the right-wingers are having a conniption. Whoever did this to Marjorie Taylor needs to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. This is horrific and incredibly dangerous. They are trying to get MTG killed. And yet, just as was the case with the guy at the, somewhere in the vague neighborhood of Brett Kavanaugh, who turned himself in, the swatter called and said, hey, yeah, I just hate her. It's not real. You can call the boys back. And I can't help but wonder how many gazillions she's brought in. Since the incident. Oh, and speaking of medical stuff earlier, Dr. Oz. So-called Dr. Oz. See how it works? Damn it. I got too much stuff in here. The reason I don't do video. Just dumped a bunch of makeup brushes in the floor. They'll have to go. You're going to have to soak in some Dawn dishwashing detergent. So-called Dr. Oz is now attacking the health of John Fetterman. Because John Fetterman helped so-called Dr. Oz to make an ass out of himself over crudité. So-called Dr. Oz said if John Fetterman had ever eaten a vegetable in his life, then maybe he wouldn't have had a major stroke and wouldn't be in the position of having to lie about it constantly. Oh, for God's sake. John Fetterman said, I had a stroke. I survived it. I'm truly so grateful to still be here today. I know politics can be nasty, but even then I could never imagine ridiculing someone for their health challenges. God, poor old Dr. Oz just can't stop. So-called Dr. Oz can't stop stepping on rakes. And, of course, well, Fetterman is up on Dr. Oz as more and more Pennsylvanians realize that he's a so-called Dr. Oz. And other physicians have jumped in and said that, well, that certainly was sleazy. As a TV celebrity doctor, Mehmet Oz has displayed a shameful disregard for medical science and the well-being of his audience while he enriched himself at the expense of our patients. 100 people signed that document. As physicians, we take seriously our responsibility for the health and well-being of our patients. Which, by implication, well, Dr. Oz, so-called Dr. Oz, does not. Oh, and by the way, Steve from Georgistan says, these right-wing fart knockers complain about George Soros. Seriously? this takes dark money to a new level. How many times have you heard the liberal media talk about this? We should be shouting our heads off over this. HB1 would have squashed this. Thanks a pant load, Joe and Kirsten. A new conservative nonprofit group scored a $1.6 billion windfall last year via a little-known donor. An extraordinary sum that could give Republicans and their causes a huge financial boost ahead of the midterms and for years to come. The source of the money was Bar Said, an electronics manufacturing mogul, and the donation is among the largest, if not the largest, single contributions ever made to a politically focused nonprofit. If it's politically focused, the question arises, why is it a nonprofit? I mean, maybe just, you know, right. And as for Marginal Trailer Queen, Darlene in Connecticut says, oh, but it was okay for Marginal Trailer Queen to harass, stalk, and traumatize AOC in the Capitol building. Although you may not like the reason why she got swatted, which I don't gainsay, it's nice to see that twit getting a taste of her own medicine. I know. That's what makes it a little difficult. As to the Marginal Trailer Queen swatting, Tom in sunny San Rafael says, false flag, false flag. Just asking questions. What if an MTG staffer used the voice masking to call in the threat just to boost fundraising and give her a chance to be a martyr? Well, we're just asking questions. Oh, Tom. That was delightful. That was delightfully kind of halfway evil. And more than halfway believable when you come right down to it. Eat a vegetable? Irish Dave says, apparently Fetterman couldn't find a nearby so-called Wegner's store to shop for veggies. Yeah, Wegner's has all the veggies, right? Sure. Hey, look, it's Billable Rick. And I think Billable Rick is on the road. Have I got that part correct, Rick?
Hey, I am indeed, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. You sound a little far away, and I don't mean in terms of being in California.
Well, it just so happens that my son's microphone in his car doesn't work, so I can hear your voice over the speakers, but I could say something and he wouldn't hear me.
Sounds good. How are you?
Yeah. I'm doing okay. I've been on the road since 11:50 Pacific time, so that puts me at, I don't know. The car's already asked me if I need a coffee break, and I have not responded to it. I'm like 140 miles south of Sacramento, and I'm all by myself here. So I had my music playing earlier today. I decided not to listen to Randy Rhoads. Instead, jammed to some pretty cool music. There's this really good song. I think it's a newer song. It's a band called The Records Company called Never Leave You. It's just like, it's a total earworm. It's a great song. My assignment here the next 2 days, Robin, is to get my son's stuff safely up to Seattle. And then because, as we know, how important cats are, he is going to be flying one cat, Elvis,
Are you there? Flying Elvis.
Anyway, it is all about the cat. I'm driving because the cat needs to fly up to Seattle.
Okay, hold on. You get a cowbell. It is all about the cat. That's a deep horn comedy reference, and yeah, wanted to make sure I honored that.
Was that a cowbell I heard?
Yes, that was a cowbell. You got a cowbell for It Is About the Cat.
Jeez. Okay, yeah, it's coming in sketchy here, but I'm just, besides getting the stuff safely to Seattle, I'm going to be stopping, and I put a call up Sparky via Skype. I couldn't get the microphone to work on Skype, so I had to end up like texting as I was driving, which isn't the ideal thing. So, 8 o'clock or so, my ETA for Reading, which is my first stop. I'm driving 540 miles today out of the total 11. Tomorrow will be a 599 mile trip, so I figured I'd just get started and just kind of chill out in Reading.
So you're going to get to hang out with Sparky for a little bit. That's awesome.
You there, Robin?
I'm right here. Yeah, I heard. Right. I heard you say you're going to get to. You're going to stop and visit with Sparky.
Yeah. Gonna try to hook up with Sparky. Maybe he can. Maybe he can hook up with the. What is that name of that hippie strain? I'm trying to remember the name of a strain here. That's funny. It's supposedly mellow, but it's not. I forget what it's called. Anyway, we'll see.
Oh, are you talking about the biscuits and gravy kush?
I'm sorry, what's that?
comedy's difficult right now. I said, are you talking about the biscuits and gravy kush?
I'm not talking. Oh, kush, that's right. Yes, kush. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be very cool. But I decided not to bring any of my own stash because I've got to fly back down to L.A., the L.A. area, for actually Orange County, from Seattle on Sunday night. So so the plan is to get in Seattle probably around sometime Thursday. I might get there like 6 or 7 or 8, and if so, I'll just do some sightseeing, you know, and then figure out where my son wants. We're going to probably have to stay at a hotel on Thursday night. And then we'll go to the store, buy some stuff. He'll buy stuff he needs for his apartment. I'll help him unpack on Friday. Saturday we'll be doing stuff, I imagine. And I know that I've been in touch with Roger. I may have lunch with him tomorrow on my way up. It's, I think, a five-hour drive roughly from Reading to Eugene. And then it's, I think, another like 4 hours up to Seattle from there. And then Asa has contacted me, as well as Chris from Oregon.
Right.
I also tried to send an email to Jude. I don't know if she ever got it. I think it's I think her email address is womenstanding@yahoo.com. Is that right, Robin?
Yes, womenstanding@yahoo.com.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So anyway, that's sort of my itinerary, and I've also been backed by a master harmonica player who I do karaoke with to write a couple of songs during this trip. It's got to be bluesy rock kind of songs that would have a harmonica part. So so we will see. We will see what I can do. This guy's a super guy. I met him doing karaoke and hanging out at what I call world famous Gilligan's, which is where I did an infamous Billy Idol song a few years ago that uploaded to Facebook. A pretty funny version, actually, of White Wedding.
So, oh, dear. Well, it sounds like you've got a lot. You do have a lot of drive. That's basically from what Orange County to Sparky is about the same thing as I, you never cross a state line, and that's about as far as from here for me when I go home to Alabama, you know, where I grew up.
Okay.
It's about the same distance. Only I go through 4 states. You're staying in one.
Is that your Alabama trip then, about 1,100 miles?
All the way down to the Gulf of Mexico, yeah.
Okay.
About 1,000.
Okay, well, it's pretty close then. It's quite comparable. I'm just passing the California Aqueduct on my right side. Oh, I'll let this truck get to the right, and I'll go to the left. I drove to Redding. It got kind of a, maybe it's a funny story, I don't know. But word of caution, never eat a turkey and Swiss cheese sandwich at Ralph's, what are they, the signature sandwiches? I forget what it is. They have their own, kind of supposedly high brand type of stores. I think it's called Pavilions, Ralph's Pavilions, I think it's called. The last time I went to Redding is to pick my son up at the ranch that he attended up there, the ranch school, the residential school up in Redding. And I left from Woodland Hills in the valley. Thought, well, I better get some food to eat here on the way. And I ate the food. It felt okay for a while. But an hour later, it started to kind of feel like, oh, geez, I'm kind of getting a stomach ache, not feeling so well. What the hell is going on? And then,
oh, no.
Another hour and a half later. Yeah. And then another hour and a half later, I'm driving on the 5 freeway north, probably around, past the Grapevine. Heading towards like the Bakersfield area, that whatever, not quite that far, but in that general vicinity. And I'm in the left-hand lane, and all of a sudden I start to get that feeling that I'm going to like puke, the sweating, the salivation and shit. And fortunately, there was a I couldn't get over to the right because there was a truck in the right-hand lane. Fortunately, there was a little gravel. A little place to pull over on the left, and I just barely made the I barely got the car stopped, and then opened the door, and oops, it all came out. But that happened the last time I went to Redding. It's not going to happen today, I don't think. So I'm not going to eat at Ralph's.
Be smart. Oh, and I just heard from Jude. She said, traveling provides introspection. I'm looking forward to meeting you, Billable Rick, and your son. I did return your email, hopefully Saturday, as I'll be in Fremont on the periphery of Seattle, seeing my nephew, Bill. So, check your email. She did respond. Okay, we're having real audio problems here. Billable, did you hear me?
Let me get off my hands. Hold on a second here.
I get a little nervous because I know he's doing this while he's driving, and that always gets. Worrisome.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough connection here, and
it seems like
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is here. Just one of those.
Well, do check your email because you've got a response from Jude in there.
Okay, that sounds great. I think, what the hell is this guy doing? This guy was like, there was like about a half a truck like between me and this guy. He was going to like swing over and like pass me on the, from the right and swing over to the left. There's no room. Hold on here. Come on, man. This is an engine speedway. You're not gonna pass me with half a car length room. Come on.
No. I think you're dealing with an idiot.
Yeah, Yeah, he was like, he looked like an aggressive dude in a truck, a big truck. So, yeah, I guess the testosterone has gotten the better of him here. He's, going a little too fast and not being too courteous. He kind of looked over at me, probably because I'm holding the phone. That's the only way I can hear you that well.
Oh, golly. Yeah. Well, listen, let's get you on up the road and go say hi to Sparky, and I hope you get to get together with Brother Deacon Asa and Jude and Chris and have a little mini horn in.
Yeah, I'm looking for, it's almost like a mini horn in or whatever, I guess. West Coast, anyway.
And Roger, yeah. And you said you didn't bring your stash with you. I have a feeling you're not going to have any problem finding. No.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah, I think I'll be fine. I'm not too worried about that. But anyway, I saw that Jude's email just hit because it showed on the screen here from my phone/Bluetooth setup. So at least that works. Not that I can read the emails or. Not that I should at this time, but I'm going to probably gas up around Sacramento in about maybe 120 miles or so, and that'll be like about 350 miles that it will driven without stopping. So that's kind of a victory.
That's a pretty good lick. Get out and stretch your legs.
Yeah. It's working out good. I have like. Mineral water here. I found I used a cooler that the garbage service intended for food waste, to keep your food waste and then tie it up and throw it out in the recycle bag. I'm using it as a cooler. It works perfect. It's like right on the floor here between my legs. And I've got like apples. I've got like some stuff from Star, her baked goods. She made really good zucchini bread. You like that, Robin?
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love zucchini bread.
Yeah, it's delicious. But she makes it in such a way that it's not real high in fat, and it's also she doesn't use a lot of sugar. She uses I don't think it's stevia, but it's I think she uses like a lot of agave and things like that. You know, like substitutes. So it's. It's really delicious. She's an amazing cook, and I've probably gained 15 pounds since we've been together. Maybe 20, I think. So I've got to get rid of some of this excess weight. You know, it's not a good thing to carry around.
No, you're talking to the wrong girl. I got to get back in the gym.
Well, you know, I'm talking to the infamous, suspiciously large woman, right?
Precisely, and larger than she would like to be, in all the wrong places.
All right. Exactly. All right. Well, anyway, it's been nice talking with you, and give my greetings to everybody in the Horn family, and we will be in touch.
Sounds good, Billable. Let us know when you reach your destination. On the morrow.
Okay, sounds good. You know, I may give you a call tomorrow. Maybe it'll be a better connection. We'll see.
Okay, you take care. Drive carefully, you hear?
All right, sounds good. I may try Skype tomorrow. Maybe that's better than... Is this the stress line I called?
No, you dialed in on the Skype line.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay, all right. All right, well, anyway, you take good care, and, hey, people, open those wallets. This isn't easy. It's not free. Freedom's not free, and, you can say whatever the hell you want on this channel, except for, certain, let's say, assassination threats, that's an uncommon type of forum, very uncommon forum. Let's open the wallet, keep the show going.
Thank you, Billable.
And you betcha. And I'll kick something in once I get paid. I'm like I'm living on credit at the moment, so I got to wait till I get my monthly paycheck in about a week or so. Not quite, maybe a few days actually.
More than understandable. I mean, there's I think things have been bad enough for long enough. It's beginning to take a real toll for a lot of people.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Billable, you be good. Drive carefully.
Hey, I will, and I'll avoid those red trucks trying to pass me with only a half a truck space in front of them, you know, compared to where I am in the vehicle.
Yeah, look out for the other guy, as the old ads used to say. Billable, you take care and have a good evening.
Take care, my friend.
Bye now. Calling from out on the road. That's our very own Billable Rick. Safe travels, my friend. Safe travels. Let's see here. Going back to so-called Dr. Oz. Jeremy in Vermont says, every time someone mentions Dr. Oz, a mixture of a pill bottle and a circus clown horn should be blasted out. Yeah. Has he gotten around to selling jade eggs yet, or is he just leaving that corner to Gwyneth Paltrow? I don't know. Let's see. Let's keep things going. By the way, we are at 1060 to go. If we could... let's see, what is it? $160 would get last week fully funded. $160 would get us to there. So, just all help is good help. And over to the stress line we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Robin. And Ken again.
Well, hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm very good. I'll say, the week went very well. At least you recommended the lump charcoal. Got some of that. Worked great. You know, cheapo Weber grill. I don't know if it's smoker, but anyway, I was doing burgers anyway. But I mean, that works so great. And following Rick, that's great. I don't know, a petition that you stop calling him Billable, because he's a person, not just a freaking liar.
Oh, he's been Billable Rick by his own.
Right.
Yeah, well, for a long time. Yeah,
and maybe like this.
And plus, we've also got an unbillable Rick. So that's a good way to keep them separate.
Okay. Well, I have a brother, Rick, and he's not a lawyer, so there's that. Anywho, what's the status? Has Ralph's challenge been met?
It was that got met, and
I'm going to offer, make me do the challenge, $25.
Okay.
I know he just gave, but I'm going to hurt a little because you know, radical self-interest.
I get it. The make me do it radical self-interest challenge. $25.
There you go.
And that would get us down to 10-10, and that would be awesome.
I know, it'd be awesome, for sure. You're talking about Dr. Oz, or so-called Dr. Oz. I know. And you might fuck Oprah for doing this Dr. Oz and so-called Dr. Phil. And he's worse. Oh my God, I can't stand Dr. Phil. Or so-called Dr. Phil.
Yeah, we're going to get some mileage out of so-called tonight, aren't we?
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to actually do that some more because my mom listened to so-called Dr. Phil and so-called Dr. Oz. And it's like, I would get so mad at me. I don't watch this stupid guy. You know, honestly, with the so-called Dr. Phil, I remember, it's hilarious. He like basically told somebody that he prayed out, rode their backs for their, mental problem or whatever it was. And he's like, well, just stop it. And it reminded me of the old skit from, Bob Newhart. And where he played a psychiatrist, where he told everybody, well, just stop it. It's hilarious. I'm stupid.
And of course, because college kids will be college kids, a drinking game evolved around that. The old Bob Newhart show. The game was called Hi Bob, and you had to take a drink every time somebody said Hi Bob. And if they said Bob Hartley, you had to do a shot. And if they said Dr. Bob Hartley, you had to hammer the whole can of beer.
Or Daryl, then you had to do three.
Yeah.
My name's Daryl. What's your name, Daryl? My name's Daryl. Hi, Bill. That's totally. Fetterman has his number. He's like, I had a stroke. Well, you know what? So did I. Not recently. And I probably don't eat enough vegetables, but, who the fuck knows what the cause was? Maybe their number's up. I don't know. Maybe you believe in God. Maybe that was it. I don't share that view. Of course not. That's ridiculous. God. Yeah. Do I still have you?
No, I'm right here. I'm right here, listening.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes the quiet like gets you wonder if you got.
Well, what I do a lot of the times is I will mute with the noise of the air conditioner here. I will often mute my mic when
right.
You're talking.
Right.
So that,
I recognize
yeah.
that. Oh, it's over there. No, I'm still listening to somewhere in February. I have other programs, so I won't miss one of your programs. So, it's interesting to think back of the news, how fast news.
Oh, I know it blows my mind sometimes when I hear older programs, and that's why I opened the program, right. Ken, talking about all those years ago when we were wondering what the hell happened to the hacked RNC emails.
Yeah, well, that's compromise, and I believe, I think you're right, that's compromise for Trump, exactly what's in those files.
I mean, you got...
Right, I mean, he's trained by Putin,
just think, what if the PP tape's in there?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably an underage thing. The pee-pee thing is kind of weird, but he didn't know he likes the power dynamic of I hate to say rape, but I mean, honestly, the domination of, little girls. It's sick and disgusting, but I mean, that's really what they get off on. It is sex.
Because they're monsters.
I don't believe that anyway. Yeah, well, for sure. They're monsters. Yeah. And it's monsters. Hey, my mom told me there was no such thing as monsters, but she's lying. My dad was smarter enough to say that they were monsters. Where are monsters?
Yeah, they are. Well, Ken, it is awfully good to hear from you. I hope you have a good evening. And
My neighbor got the smoker going at this spot.
Oh, yeah?
Mm. Oh, yeah. It smells very good. Anyway, it's good to talk to you. Hopefully that's met, and I'll post it after the show.
Okay. I appreciate it so much.
To you and the family.
And the same right back at you. Jude sent me a note a little bit ago and said she wanted to pass on her heartfelt energy of gentleness in regard to your mom and all you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jude is a special and kind and warm and loving spirit.
And in the spirit of Columbo, just one more thing.
Just one more thing, yeah.
And then I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, wow.
I know how that goes.
Oh, well, I guess another time. That's meaning, peace and love and good happiness stuff.
All right. Thank you. Ken, you have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Our buddy Ken calling from the northwest corner of Pennsylvania, Bamistan. Let's see. Oh, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, so we got to have at least one prayer meeting Wednesday story. So how about over to Fox News Radio Rwanda? And This is Schadenfreude we can really get into. They had a bit of a meltdown on the Fox set a few days ago. Down in Texas, a school district received a petition from a bunch of right-wing, mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing freaks about books they wanted taken out of the library. And so they started removing books that had nasty stuff that could be perceived as nasty in it. And, of course, one of the nastiest books of all time is, well, it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday, so you know. So let's go right to the audio, shall we? Try not to laugh too hard. This is Harris Faulkner and Kali Maganini, you know, former White House spokescreep who transitioned seamlessly into a gig at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda.
A Texas school district is pulling the Bible from its library shelves. It's among some 40 titles now under review in the Keller Independent School District in Texas, along with Anne Frank's diary and illustrated version. Some of the books sparked controversy last year after parent complaints. The district says this is just a temporary move, saying this. Right now, Keller ISD's administration...
Now, hold on a minute. The books did not spark any controversy. The mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing maggots did. But, you know, they're not going to say that to their base over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. I just want to make sure we were clear on that.
...is asking our campus staff and librarians to review books that were challenged last year to determine if they meet the requirements of the new policy. Books will be returned to the libraries as soon as it is confirmed that they comply with the new policy. So, Lisa, the school district apparently got accused of having books with sexual content, so they put under review all of these books. There were three parent complaints about the Bible, citing sexual content and violence. My question is, anonymous individuals asleep when they learned that kindergarten through second graders were being taught across the country sexually explicit content like body parts in vivid detail? You don't believe me? Google what they teach in New York City private schools.
Well, and one of the books that was permanently banned, I believe, was Gender Queer,
yes,
which is a book that was at issue in Loudoun County, and it's geared towards adolescents. And there's actual pictures of young people doing sexual acts on one another for children. I mean, I think you would hope most Americans would say, wait a minute, we don't need this for young kids in the country. And, of course, all this originated with COVID and parents being more awake and being home and seeing what their kids were being
Liar.
Taught and worried about things.
Liar. It did not originate with COVID. It originated with well-funded maggot groups who were told to go and harass teachers. Can we just be clear about that?
It's like, you know, critical race theory being indoctrinated on kids, worried about things like this. You know, we saw the big fight in Loudoun County, which led to Governor Youngkin winning over McAuliffe. And the major issue.
Which... Yeah, the major issue was all the money from right-wing hate groups that hate the LGBTQ community pumping fortunes into Glenn Youngkin. From, what was that hedge fund firm? Yeah. Right.
It was sort of a parents-led rebellion of being like, no, we're in charge of our kids' education and what our kids are being taught, not you, the government.
So to your point, the book Gender Queer, the Washington Post, hardly a conservative publication, as you know.
Yes.
This is how they describe one of the scenes in that book that was also targeted. A sexual fantasy of the authors is depicted in which an apparently teenage youth is about to engage in a sexual act with an older bearded man. A reason to
read
take that
kids.
Out of right,
yeah.
Right. But you contrast that, Emily, with the Bible, the most read book in all of human history.
Yeah,
in fact,
that do
over
let.
The last 50 years, nearly 4 billion.
Yeah, see, now, in the Bible, not to put too much fine of a point on it, but in the Bible, it's not an actual fantasy that a couple of teenage girls are. No, they actually get their daddy drunk and fuck him. So, you know, and remember, the Bible is the literal word of God to these goobers. And Lot was an unrighteous man.
Million copies have been sold. Compare that to Harry Potter, which is number 3 at 400 million. Not only that, foundation of the world's largest religion, a classic historical text. If you don't believe it in the religious context, at least we can be appreciated in that context.
No, it's not historical either.
I think that what's so difficult to digest here is that the whim of a few has such an impact on the many. And this was one of the reviewers, actually, her point was about that Anne Frank graphic novel, which is like the illustrated version, where she said, we approved this. And we thought to ourselves, like, yes, we saved this. This is literature that this school should be exposed to, the students here. And yet, because someone else said, no, we're going to review it again, all of a sudden it's back under review. We already addressed this. The fact that because one person or three people put the Bible on that is absolutely horrifying. This is when the school administrators need to step up and say, absolutely not. You know what? We don't need a committee right now to discuss this for 40 minutes. It's going back on the shelf. Because the default here as well is that if someone's...
Yeah, but that's the problem. This is the can of worms that they opened, and they wanted to open it. I mean, there's filthy stuff in the Bible. It's absolutely pornographic. Murder all the men and the women and save only the virgin girls so they can be raped by the priests? And somehow that's acceptable, but writing about a couple of queer kids kissing isn't? Miss me with this shit. And it is shit. Okay, let's be clear. It's shit. I mean, what if some impressionable child there in the Keller Independent School District gets hold of the Bible and reads about Lot's daughters fucking their daddy and goes home and says, "Hey, Pop, you want a glass of Merlot?" What do we tell the children? Oh, I think I'm getting the vapors. You know, and then there's all the gay stuff. David loved Jonathan as his own soul. Right? Not saying. Just saying. But I gotta admit, it's fun to hear... It's fun to hear these incredibly privileged, wealthy broadcasters... barking and braying about, you know, I pulled out the Bible.
subjected it to review, then it's automatically taken off the shelf while they decide.
Yeah.
But every day without the Bible is a day lost, and that Bible should be back on the shelves.
Agreed. And Harris, there's a difference. Look, I think a new book that's written that has sexual content inappropriate for children, yes, I think that is a book that should be taken away, even though I'm in general not for canceling books off out of library shelves. But a book like Anne Frank, I've not seen the illustrated version. This is a real depiction of something that happened in human history.
Wait a minute. Did she just say, I've not seen? Oh, thank you, goddess of irony.
Students need to see and understand the Holocaust, slavery, human atrocities in the world's history.
Yeah, but that's the whole... But wait a minute. Did she was barking and grunting and braying about critical race theory. And, you know, how the little... You know, the great-great-great-grandchildren of enslaving people, of people who enslaved other people, shouldn't be made sad about what their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents did. I mean, have the cake or eat it, Kali. Can't have both.
So back to Emily's point for just a second in terms of, you know, once something is kind of settled and then it gets pulled off the shelves while they, you know, they review it and so on and so forth. What is the end game here? Is it to let the few win? Is it to appease the few to show that, look, we took a triple, quadruple look? Mm-hmm. Is there really a policy that is a benchmark that, that everybody agrees on? Were parents part of that conversation? This just opens to me up the room for even more questions. And I don't know if there's enough transparency in this process yet. Maybe they haven't felt like they needed it, but they need it now for them to...
Maybe they need a cleaned up Bible with all the filthy... Oh, wait, that would be a pamphlet.
Explain the differences and commonalities between the Bible and the book with the sexual pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Like why one seems like an automatic no for kindergarten through third grade, and the other one is, can we discuss this? Because taking the Bible out of schools then furthers the political goal that we know already exists, as they want to, on one side of the political aisle, remove things like, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance and things that have the word God and so on and so forth. So to avoid any painting of politics in this, sounds like to me they need to have an open discussion. And why remove it while you're talking about it?
Yeah.
Why can't you leave it up? Because you can't replace the learning, whatever the book is.
Yeah.
You can't replace what was gone, except for the sex pictures, because those are not things that kindergartens through third graders are going to be practicing.
Yep. What makes me think that maybe the first through third graders weren't getting copies of Genderqueer? I mean, they even confess that it's a book written for adolescents and provides some degree of representation for otherwise ignored and erased people. Yeah. Oh, I'm not for canceling books, unless they're books you want to cancel, right, Harry? Sure. Oh, and while we're at Fox, let's pop in real quick on that life support system for a haircut. The Hannity job. Oh, he's mad. He's terribly, terribly angry. He's going to... Oh, my God, he's... I'll sue John Fetterman! He says, he called John Fetterman a very lazy Bernie Sanders loving socialist trust fund baby brat. He did that in inviting John Fetterman to debate. And this is all after the Hannity job found out that Fetterman sent out a fundraising appeal that said, can you please rush a donation of $25 right now to help me fight back against future Fox News attacks? We've got to counter Sean Hannity with as much grassroots support as possible. And the Hannity jobs. He apparently sent yet another fundraising text today attacking me, lying about me, and calling me a liar. Of course, if you had to, if you actually had the task of documenting all the lies that the Hannity job has told, be thicker than the Bible. Every day he lies about me, I will continue to tell the truth about his radical extreme positions, way out of touch with the hard-working people of Pennsylvania. Sean Hannity wouldn't know hard work if hard work came up and shook his hand and introduced him and invited him to dinner. By the way, my trust fund brat friend, I will attack you back 10 to 100 times harder because you're a lying loser and raising money for your losing campaign.
Fetterman is at present... out in front of so-called Dr. Oz. I guess the Hannity job has adopted the language of his god emperor.
You loser! Loser! I'm gonna call you loser again! Loser! Loser!
What a schmuck. And I guess we would do well. Oh, and by the way, coming up on the second hour, the end of the second hour of the program, I had a note from Suman, a challenge. This weekend, the Cricket Asia Cup begins. On Sunday, we have a blockbuster game scheduled between India and Pakistan. I'd like to propose a $10 challenge. I'll donate 10 bucks. All I need is for 5 members of the community to send some good vibes over the air and support the Indian team to win on Sunday, and I will donate another $10. You don't... Okay, so send some emails. Go India. I'll get it started. Go India. And Suman makes things clear. I'm not asking because of all the conflicts between the two countries. I'm saying this because the Pakistan team has a phenomenal bowling attack that has routed India in the previous encounter last year. You know, come to think of it, had we never been split up into two countries, we would have almost been unbeatable in cricket. Pakistan's bowling attack combined with India's batting would have been near undefeatable. And, of course, we would have had a wonderful side benefit of not going to war 3 times. Pro peace. Best regards. Suman. So, shoot me some emails. Go India. Beat Pakistan. We like to root for the underdog here, right? And with a few notable exceptions, you know, my beloved Mountaineers will open their season playing Pitt, at Pitt. I guess we will be underdogs there, too. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just a natural-born underdog. So, go India. Send me some, send some emails. Give me some shout-outs. And that'll, That will trigger the challenge, and Suman's challenge will then, in turn, satisfy all but $5 of Ken's challenge, and we will be we'll be down to 10-10. Thanks, Suman. I will tell me where's. Where's the best place to catch highlights, like video highlights or what? So, yeah, let me know. Where is it being played, too? Who's at home on this one? Ralphs, first in line. Go, India! Absolutely. Come on, y'all. Come on. 4 or 5 of you. 6, maybe. 10. Whatever. Take a minute. Just give me a quick go, India, so I can share it with Suman. And so, what I was saying a minute ago, if you want to jump in and get some conversation going, you're more than welcome to. Big news today in that the White House announced that there will be $10,000 and up to $20,000 worth of loan forgiveness for student loans. About 55% of the American people support it. Naturally, there are some barking, grunting maggots in the
Everybody said, pay back their student loans. God damn it, I worked real hard and I paid mine on the blah, 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 blah. Shouldn't nobody get nothing for free?
Oh, yeah. Over at minority side of the House Committee on the Judiciary, run by Jim Jacketoff Jordan, they posted on Twitter,
if you take out a loan, you pay it back, period. Nothing is free!
Yeah, except for, like, maybe classified documents that their god emperor steals and takes to Merida Lardass. Lee in New York. Go, India! And notes, India was the home of one of the great mathematical minds, Srinivasa Ramanujan. I've learned something. Yay. Here's the fun thing, funny thing, though, about the Republicans being all mad about student loan forgiveness. A little company called Caregivers Incorporated. They got free money from the government valued between $350,000 and $1 million. That via Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And guess who has somewhere between $100,000 and $250,000 worth of corporate stock in Caregivers, Inc.? You would not be wrong if you said, Matt, it just gets worse. The CARES Act provided $27 million in loans, basically free money, to lawmakers and their families. 13 Republican lawmakers lined up and got their front trotters in the trough and the rear ones in there with it. Representing Roger Williams of Texas, one of the richest men in the entire Congress, got a PPP loan somewhere between $1 million and $2 million. But of course, he deserved it, as did businesses linked to representing Rick Allen of Georgia, Vicky Hartzler of Missouri, Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma, Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania, and Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma. Yeah, they all got some of that sweet, sweet free money. And then, of course, well, there was Marginal Trailer Queen. She got a PPP loan and then loaned $450,000 of her loan to her congressional campaign. So her campaign has to pay it back to her with interest. Oh, isn't that lovely? Yeah, lots of them. Senator Bishop Willard Romney, well, he said, this is just a bribe of voters. Mm-hmm. Binders full of women, Mitt, yeah.
Sad to see what's being done to bribe the voters. Biden's student loan forgiveness plan may win Democrats some votes, but it fuels inflation, foots taxpayers with other people's financial obligations, is unfair to those who paid their own way, and creates irresponsible expectations.
Personally, I think college should be free, and there should be no such thing as student loans. But then again, I'm all radical and stuff. Irish Dave says, go India. Ah, okay. Well, by the way, you ain't missing nothing if you can't find video of that match, since cricket doesn't have any so-called highlights. I didn't know. And Jude says, Suman, I sense we travel on some plane due to the committed love of our community. I will hold your request within me and send it out into the universe. Just did. In peace, Jude. And so both challenges are satisfied. Thank you. And we are down to $1,005 to go to fill in the hole. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jude. bribing the voters. See, here's and then there's Dan Bishop in North Carolina.
Loan forgiveness is a gift to the coastal elites.
Even though there are going to be students getting $10,000 to $20,000 worth of loans forgiven in North Carolina, Stan. Yeah, I know. Beautiful, though, isn't it? I mean, they can have these conniptions. This is straight out of Casablanca. I am shocked to find out there's gambling going on here. You're winning, sir? Oh, yes, of course. They are. Stuffing free government money checks in their wallet at the same time. Completely. But here's the real problem. I noticed this right away. And it's not a Republican problem. It's an us problem. I know. But it is. No sooner had the news come out than folks on our side said, it's not enough! It's not enough! It needs to be total!
Well, I mean, I agree.
But I also agree, as I think Dr. King said, we should not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. This is good. Even knocking down a balance by 10 grand is 10 grand less that you have to sweat and pay interest on. And it's a beginning. That's important. It is a beginning. If we have the will to continue to press and to make sure that we continue to empower this administration, 10 can become 20, 20 can become 40, 40 can become total. And then maybe go to work on the real issue, which is the predatory practices of the student loan lending industry. All of this should be, if we're going to do student loans, it should be administered through the government, not through some private firm charging ungodly amounts of interest. Why is there interest anyway? What about zero interest? If we're going to, I mean, you still just pay it back, but it's still in. You see what I'm saying? I mean, Jesus, that Dan Bishop.
Today is further proof that the Biden admin cares about foreign borders and coastal elites, not the Americans being crushed by inflation, crime, and a border crisis.
Well, as that showed in New York's 19th last night, maybe people are, you know, because inflation is not forever. Especially not this kind of inflation. The phonied up, faked up, rubed up, ginned up, dummied up kind where Wall Street's going absolutely bananas and bathing in profits while corporations jack up prices just because they know that people had a little extra money in their pockets. I mean, it is kind of infuriating. And then there's noted intellectual Steve Scalise, a man so brilliant he couldn't figure out that keeping automatic semi-automatic weapons out of the hands of people might be a good thing, even after he got blown away.
Let's be clear. This isn't imaginary money. Biden just shifted all that student loan debt onto other taxpayers who are already dealing with high inflation. Debt forgiveness is just another liberal scam for the elites paid for by working-class Americans.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's like all the ads I'm seeing now saying that the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 is going to raise taxes on all Americans. No, it's really not. Sincerely, it is not. And, of course, in 2008, there was the bank bailout,
That was $700 billion of free money to too big to fail banks. And there were very few Republicans who had a harsh word to say about that. And then there's the fact that Steve Scalise there. In Louisiana, Stan, where Scalise's district is, multinational oil companies, well, $5.9 trillion in 2020 in subsidies under, you know, Nitwit Nero. Then there's the six bankruptcies of Nitwit Nero himself, which apparently is just smart business. Well, they are immune. They are immune to hypocrisy, aren't they? Yeah. Oh, and Suman says, thanks, Robin and community. The matches are all being played in Dubai, which is a sort of home ground for Pakistan. Of course, there are highlights. I'll send a link after. Yay, thank you, Suman. And, of course, you can't talk about, say, a primary election, maybe in Florida or New York, without there being a maggot out there losing their shit because they lost their primary. Enter Laura Looney, or Loomer. Yeah, she was trying to primary the incumbent Representative Daniel Webster, not exactly a fire-breathing liberal by any stretch of the imagination. No, he's a Republican in Florida. She got whooped. I mean, whooped. She got beaten by 6 percentage points. Naturally, Laura Loomer, kind of confuse her with that underleg deodorant stuff. Never mind. I'm not conceding because I'm a winner. The reality is that our Republican Party is broken to its core. We've exposed the corruption of our own feckless, cowardly Republican Party. And then, of course, she called Daniel Webster a rhino and said that he was a do-nothing. And, this is the second time she's lost a congressional primary. She lost the previous one by 20 points, so... But get the hockey puck. This non-concession speech is for the ages.
I'm not conceding because I'm a winner, and the reality is our Republican Party is broken to its core.
Tonight has really honestly shocked the nation. We have further exposed the corruption within our own feckless, cowardly Republican Party. And that is exactly the reason why, right, I decided to run against the rhino Republican, Daniel Webster. Do nothing, Daniel Webster.
Yeah, absolutely. So she's not going to concede. Great, Laura. Wonderful. Of course, Laura there is a she's a real Lulu. Let's see, she refers to Muslims as savages. Yeah, she says she wants more migrant deaths, not less. She's an absolutely virulent Islamophobe. And, of course, there's no evidence of any fraud whatsoever.
nonetheless, that didn't slow down Stupiders. Stu Peters, Stupiders. We've heard a little bit from him from time to time. He's a right-wing nut job. And he said, here's some fake results from a fake election because every election is fake and rigged. Yeah, the rhinos are rigging the elections. But there's a bright spot here, because at least one of her supporters, who has a bit of a following, said that Laura Loomy lost because Matt Gaetz and Marginal Trailer Queen didn't give her money and support her campaign, and that their God Emperor didn't endorse her. Ali Alexander, the guy who put together the Stop the Steal campaign, he said, real talk, Gaetz or MTG could have put Loomer over the top. $200,000 more dollars could have done it. Trump's advisors not blocking a Loomer endorsement could have put her over the top. Good. Y'all go right to work. Come on, let's you and them fight. And as always, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. As Lee says, Republican primary sore losers. Keep fighting right through Election Day, please. And Clarence says, stop crying, GOP. Give back that $2 trillion tax cut, how about? No, they don't do that. Oh, and in memoriam, Ron points out, no one's mentioned RIP Len Dawson, Kansas City Chiefs quarterback. Went off to the gridiron in the sky. He was 88. And, what was it? Was that Super Bowl III? The heavily favored Vikings and the Chiefs, led by Hank Stram, routed them. Joe Capp was the Vikings quarterback. Do I have that right? I hadn't seen news of his passing. Thanks for that. And Ron points out the largest student loan debt holders are black women. Can't let those shiftless colored girls off the hook. You're right about the greatest amount of debt. And, of course, it's predatory from the ground up. Of course, I just believe in you know what the term Jubilee is, this being prayer meeting Wednesday. Jubilee is a biblical concept that says every 7 years you just wipe the slate clean and just eliminate all debt. Hoo-wee! I think it would be more than appropriate to eliminate predatory student debt. God knows, you know, the banks make back what their principal was probably halfway before or halfway through the amortization process because of the interest that continues to accrue. Irish Dave says, was Len Dawson thrown for a loss? Cold, man. Cold. And adds, but Laura Loser Looney was endorsed by Roger Stone, criminal. Yeah, that he was. There's pictures of her hugging and a smolikin' all over him. She's part of the so-called white nationalist movement. She actually moved to the district where Daniel Webster represents. She told Jared Taylor, another proto-Nazi asshole, because Florida's 11th district had more white people, and she could be more honest about what she believed. And, you know, instead of white supremacy now, they say white advocacy. Yeah, white advocacy. Because you have to shift the language so that you can suck more people in. Oh dear, we have a new statement from down Merida Lardass way. I don't think this means what he thinks it means.
Thank you to the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics crew for successfully suing to release the now infamous Mueller memo on yet another Trump prosecution. In the 9-page memo, it was revealed that nothing would warrant a prosecution for obstruction of justice. It underscored that Mueller had not found sufficient evidence to charge any underlying crime, and that the president reasonably believed that the special counsel's investigation was interfering with his governing agenda. The memo concluded that the evidence was insufficient to support a criminal charge, even if Trump were not president. It was stated that my conduct primarily reflected a frustration with the Mueller probe and that I perceived to be politics behind it, in addition to what I believe were absolutely flawed and fake news reports. Sound familiar? Crew is devastated by these findings that they worked so hard to expose, but may now move on to the even more ridiculous witch hunt that has already caused a great Mar-a-Lago red wave with the voters of our nation. Donate to save America.
No, oh, for God's sakes. Hey, but no, it didn't quite say what they thought it said. Darlene sent along a story from Politico noting, this gives a lot more. Here we go with the what Trump believed giving him a pass. I'm not buying the BS interpretation by Barr's DOJ lawyers about Trump's threats against those who might start flipping either. Politico noting, two top aides to then Attorney General William Barr said Trump's acts wouldn't have merited obstruction charges even if he were not immune as president. Yeah. Well, regardless, it remains a fact that Bill barred a prosecution, dummied the whole thing up from jump. Two lawyers, Engel and O'Callaghan, self-servingly, I think, claiming that Trump was frustrated. And that's a bullshit statement. In the absence of underlying offense, the most compelling inference in evaluating the president's conduct is that he reasonably believed that the special counsel's investigation was interfering with his governing agenda. Oh, for pity's sakes. He's scared. Nitwit Nero is scared. Get the idea, maybe a lot of people are scared. Let's check in, say, this past Sunday, Liz Cheney sat down with ABC News for a rather lengthy conversation about the January 6th committee, her role in it, and what they hope to accomplish.
Power to subpoena all the records of the January 6th committee. Are you concerned about that? And do you expect that all the material, you got so much material. Is the committee going to make all of that public? Anyway?
Yeah, it's all public record. It will be available publicly as our investigation wraps up and concludes. And if Kevin McCarthy or Jim Jordan or any of the other individuals who are threatening to investigate the committee carry through on that threat and issue a subpoena for me to appear, I will abide by that subpoena, and I will welcome the opportunity to come and explain to them exactly what we found and the threat that Donald Trump poses to the country. And I would say, you know, they ought to do the same.
We can hold.
Oops. That probably caused some fecal incompetence on the part of Kevers McCarthy and Jim Jacketoff Jordan, because honestly they're not up to the task. And I think that that's clearly throwing down a gauntlet and saying, no, really, boys, subpoena me. Do it. This is going to be fun. Because she's vicious. And she is fresh out of give a fucks. So, no, I don't want the House to take to be in Republican hands. I sincerely do not want that. But come on, we all know that we'd sort of like to watch her tear Jim Jacketoff Jordan a new one. Wouldn't we? Well, by the way, this being, again, prayer meeting Wednesday, it's another case of when they tell you who they are, believe them the first time. We have had some clips, a couple of clips, I think, at the very least, in the recent past, from Dalton Clodfelter. You'd just really kind of like to know the etymology of that last name. Dalton, we told you about that Clodfelting, Dalton. Clods don't appreciate it. Well, he showed up on Stu Peters, a little right-wing Nazi fest, and laid out exactly the white nationalist dream for America. And more than a couple of people's probably seen this. When the Nazis tell you what they want, believe the Nazis. Take them at their word. This neo-maxi-zoom dweeby is saying the quiet part out loud. You know, the mainstream Republicans are going, shh, quiet. Nope. This is who they are. And the so-called mainstream Republicans, the normal Republicans, we know those are unicorns.
Once we maintain power, once we take our country back,
they will get right in line and march lockstep with these wild-eyed right-wing assholes, these Nazis, because that's the base. Yes, you're absolutely right, Darlene in Connecticut, and you get a cowbell for that. Aw, Liz is a chip off the old dick, Cheney. Oh, well done, Darlene. Well done. So, Dalton Clodfelter.
We will have federal agents kicking down the doors of every treasonous Democrat, every treasonous globalist, every homosexual couple that has molested a child, and they will be arrested, and they will be sentenced to prison. I believe in a far-right authoritarian government. No, I am not a fascist. No, I am not a white supremacist.
Yeah, you are.
No, I am not a Nazi.
Yes, you are.
But I do believe that hierarchy, structure, and authority are very important. I do believe that our society needs these things in order to progress and maintain its cultural framework. I believe that our society needs this in order to rid itself of sexual immorality and blatant degeneracy.
And preserve our precious bodily fluids, Mandrake.
Running rampant all throughout the country, in our schools, in our social media. The list goes on. Once we take...
You notice the slur and the lateral S's? The list goes on. Did you slam a pint of Old Goose Step before you turned on the camera there, Dalton?
Control. We will identify our enemies and we will stomp them into the dirt. They will not be able to return to power. We will rip them from their offices. We will rip them from their homes. For being degenerate liars, degenerate treasonous domestic terrorists, because that is what they are. If we want to take back the country and reestablish a Christ-like nation, a nation where the national religion is Christian, a nation where the national language is English, a nation where pornography is banned, homosexuality is banned, and
anybody like to see his browser history? Because, I mean, I've just got a feeling.
...and reestablish a Christ-like nation, a nation where the national religion is Christian, a nation where the national language is English, a nation where pornography is banned, homosexuality is banned, and transgenderism is banned, where you will never see a college that isn't a Christian college. The only college acceptable and that you are able to go to is a Christian school, because every school in these United States should teach that of Christian values. Every school should teach the Ten Commandments in elementary school. Every school should promote what it means to be a Christian to the youth of America. It cannot be any other way. There should be no secular teaching in the schools.
There you have it. It's who they are. They're not kidding. If you are Muslim, if you're Jewish, if you're Hindu, Jain, Buddhist, atheist, agnostic, follower of Huitzilopochtli, matters not. They want you dead. He says all the things that he says, all those things he says he isn't. He then goes on to prove he is. I'm not saying he has a great deal of influence, but he is saying what millions and millions and millions of Republican Americans believe. You know, the good old Leave It to Beaver days. The problem is, in Leave It to Beaver, you don't see the other side of town, and you don't see the whites-only drinking fountains and the whites-only restrooms. No. No. No, says Lee in New York. I do not want to see his browser history. I'm out of hockey pucks. I know. I mean, this really is... No, they don't quite have power now.
but they are damned well working 24/7 to achieve it. And, you know, I hate to break it to people like Candy Owens, but there's no such thing as a good one when the time comes. If you are marginalized, you stay marginalized. Yeah, Emilio says, no, I'm not a Nazi, but I do believe in exactly the same things they do. I'm sure the things they do that are illegal are not highly immoral. Yeah, learn English, Robin, and stop making me look at pornography. I'd never seen pornography until I started listening to this show. It's curious that he's highly self-aware that the things he advocates sound like they're Nazi. Yeah, I did not see that coming. When they tell you who they are, believe them the first time. And, you know, some of those good old days types apparently are still around. There's a steakhouse in Memphis, Tennessee, called Houston's. And there was a news report on the local Fox affiliate a couple, one of whom is a high school principal and the other a police officer, went to dinner at Houston's in Memphis, Stan. Memphis, not the Stan. The couple said they were humiliated at the restaurant because one of the restaurant's employees came up and said, there's a strong odor of marijuana coming from your party in this area. And responding to the woman who said that, the husband said, ma'am, we don't smoke marijuana, you're mistaken. And she said, I've gotten complaints, people have called and said they smell. No, ma'am, no one's walked by, no one's walked past us but you. And then added, you'd think when I advised her of my occupation, my wife's occupation, you'd think she would reassess what she thought. She didn't want to hear it. She said, you still have to leave. So Fox 13, the station that initially reported the incident, aired the story. And you know, wouldn't you know it, the next thing that happens, people start calling, saying, yep, happened to us. And each and every one of the people who called were people of color. And one former security guard at the restaurant, worked there 2 years, talked to the outlet. They would come in and they would tell them that they're booked and they wouldn't be able to get a seat for the next 4 or 5 hours. Sometimes they would say they were booked for the whole day, and then you would see white people come in and they'd take them on in. And then I'd see the manager tell people to just come in behind me, don't say anything, just walk to the table with me, don't say anything, just act normal like you have reservations. He'd let white people come sit down, but he wouldn't let black people come in. One host asked a woman named Linda Lane, do you have other shoes you could change into? We don't allow Crocs in the dining room. Then another waitress came by and told my cousin, you can't wear a hat in the dining area. That's the problem. I see other people wearing hats. Well, they're veterans. And apparently the dress code didn't apply to, you know, pale people. Apparently Houston's is rather hoity-toity. They say, we don't want cash payments, we want credit cards. And
our restaurants aren't the place for children or vocal infants. We do not offer child seating, nor do we allow strollers in the dining room. And apparently they've been going at it for a while. It goes back to 2017, the Houston's in Atlanta, apparently. Atlanta rap superstars T.I. and Killer Mike called for a boycott because Ernestine Johnson said she and her party of seven were refused for no sound reason. Wow. Somebody needs sued. The Atlanta establishment opened in August of 1978 and closed in March 2018 after the boycott was announced. The Hillstone Group that owns the chain said,
"We made a mistake in attributing marijuana odor to Mr. Mosby's party. We immediately apologized and were pleased he and his party stayed to dine with us Saturday evening, and we look forward to the privilege of serving them again in the future."
Yeah. Cop and a high school principal.
Y'all smell like the dope.
Apparently, the good old days are alive and well at Houston's in Memphis. Oh, and let's go down to Texas. Via Reuters. And, I took a class in federal courts when I was having a cup of coffee in law school. I have a fairly decent working understanding of notions of jurisdiction and the like. But the ability of one district court in one state to ban rulemaking for the entire country, somehow that seems nonsensical. So, the Biden administration issued guidance nationwide that said that hospitals have to provide emergency abortions to women and people who can become pregnant, even if the state has banned it. Well, Texas Attorney General and indicted felon Ken Paxton, who somehow still can't seem to be tried, sued. And they found a friendly forum in Lubbock. And which is only one district. There are multiple U.S. District Court districts in Texas. And U.S. District Judge James Wesley Hendricks, really? Growing up, did they call him Jimi Hendricks? Did they? I don't know. He overruled this U.S. District Judge. He overruled the Biden administration and said that the guidance was unauthorized and went beyond the text of a related federal law. He could have made it nationwide. He chose to make it only Texas-wide, even though he is only a district judge in one district of Texas. And they're also suing in Idaho as well. Because the U.S. Department of Justice has challenged the near-total ban on abortions in that benighted nightmare state. That ruling was expected today. Now, naturally, Ken Paxton, the indicted felon, had a measured response to the rulemaking. He said, Biden administration is trying to transform every emergency room in the country into a walk-in abortion clinic. No. Corinne Jean-Pierre, White House press secretary, got it right. She said this is a blow to Texans. It's wrong, it's backwards, and women may die as a result. The fight is not over. The Biden administration is making the effort. But the real effort has to come in November. And that's up to us. All of us, everywhere. Breaking news. A jury has just handed the plaintiffs $31 million in the lawsuit over the publication of the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash photos. The jury in the federal court case found Los Angeles, the city, liable for infringing on the constitutional rights of Vanessa Bryant and co-plaintiff Christopher Chester. They both, of course, lost a spouse and a daughter in the helicopter crash. I remember when it happened. I was on my way home from Alabama. The verdicts were entered against the L.A. County Sheriff and the L.A. Fire Department. The trial lasted 11 days. The testimony was horrifying. And the jury was only out for 3.5 hours. That wasn't even long enough to order lunch. The bad lawyering on the part of L.A., I mean, don't. The lawyer said, this is a pictures case with no pictures. And said that the pictures of the broken bodies have never actually been seen by the public or even the plaintiffs. Myra Hashmall said, no pictures is good. No pictures means no public dissemination, no risk of other people making mistakes. On the other hand, plaintiff's counsel said they poured salt into an unhealable wound, and that's why we're all here today. Argued that the photos were reckless and inhumane. Well, but the photos were taken and they were shared. And they were looking, the lawyers were looking for a total verdict of $75 million between the two plaintiffs. But the problem is, the photos did get out. An L.A. sheriff's deputy said, well, yeah, I showed the pictures while I was at a bar. And another one said, well, yeah, I shared the pictures while I was playing a video game. And then at cocktail, I mean, what kind of macabre people are these? At a cocktail party, an official of the L.A. Fire Department showed the pictures to other people who were there at an award ceremony at the cocktail hour before. What the? And in California now, thanks to a law that Gavin Newsom signed, the governor, It is now illegal for first responders to share photos of a dead person at a crime scene for any purpose other than an official law enforcement purpose. It's only a misdemeanor. And you get a $1,000 fine. Today just happens to be Kobe Bryant Day in L.A. because it references the two numbers that he wore as a Laker, 8 and 24. I don't think that's an unjust outcome to you. That's true. Going back to Lubbock, Dave says, Lubbock blows hard, windier than Chicago. Yeah, great place for a wind farm. Yeah, Emilio pointing, walk-in abortion clinic? That's so passe. I run mine as a drive-thru. And it comes with a $20 discount on the optional spa treatment. Okay. You know, don't say drive-through abortion clinic, because the indicted felon Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, will probably argue that in front of a court. Oh, and by the way, the judge in the case in Texas, Jimi Hendrix. Jesus, really? Yeah, he's a maggot. He's a maggot appointee. What the guidance did was expand the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act. And that's supposed to make sure that people who are pregnant and are poor and uninsured actually receive medical care instead of being dumped, as they so often are. Judge Jimi Hendrix said, that guidance goes well beyond EMTALA's text, which protects both mothers and unborn children, is silent as to abortion and preempts state law only when the two directly conflict. If a woman is miscarrying, see, there's that word. If a woman is in the midst of a late-term spontaneous abortion and is at risk of dying, well, you know, Ken Paxton basically went into court and said, let her die! Fuck her! Because we're pro-life! And we already know that this shit is going on in Texas. Vicious goddamn Republicans. Now, and speaking of vicious Republicans, well, the vicious Republican state, Missouri, Cassville, Missouri. Cassville is about 60 miles southwest of Springfield. Hey, Kenda. Their school district, some dude named Merlin Johnson, has decided that what the Cassville school district needs is to beat the children some. You know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. Because, allegedly, parents have been coming up to Superintendent Merlin saying, why can't you paddle my kid? Merle said, we can't paddle your kid. Our policy doesn't support that. And there'd been conversation with parents, and there'd been requests from parents for us to look into beating their youngins. No, I mean, that's, I mean, I kind of painted it. We've had people actually thank us for it. Surprisingly, those on social media would probably be appalled to hear us say these things, but the majority of people that I've run into have been supportive. We respect the decision of every parent, whatever decision they make. And So the bottom line, if parents send a note saying you can beat my kid, they will beat your kid. And by the way, it's not just like a hand spanking. No. In Cassville, Missouri, they're going to let the frustrated adults. I wonder if Cassville, Missouri, is going to let is one of those places where they want teachers to be armed to the teeth. And so, well, only the principal will do the beatings. And there will be a witness there. And no other students will ever see the beatings take place. When it becomes necessary to use corporal punishment, it shall be administered so that there can be no chance of bodily injury or harm. Striking a student on the head or face is not permitted. Well, what a bunch of liberals! Dang. I wonder if Superintendent Merlin's going to have parents come. No, I want you to punch my kid in the jaw, Merle. And Merle said, you know, sometimes you just have to beat some sense into them. We like to use positive reinforcement. We love it. That works with a lot of kids. However, some kids play the game and their behaviors aren't changing. We understand it's a bit of a shock factor, so if there's one kid or a few kids out there that know there might be a different type of discipline, it might change their behavior. Or maybe they'll bring a gun to school and shoot you, Merle. Don't bring your AR-15 to school or we'll beat you. Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. Beat them. Beat some sense into them, the little heathens. Wonder what'll happen if the principal's like had a bad day or something. Does the principal get to drill holes in the paddle? Is it going to be one of those long, like, you know, hey, we were talking cricket earlier. One of those long cricket bat-looking paddles, or maybe a repurposed ping pong paddle with the little rubber layer kind of scraped off? Maybe a really deep, dark, bloody red lacquer? Or maybe it'll be one of those cute ones like you used to get to the county fair that said, Board of Education, yeah! Because that's going to be great for kids. Give them, you know, I just feel like I know pretty well which kids are going to get the beatings. Kind of the way we know which people wind up going to the death house and prisons and stuff at disproportionate rates. Yeah, there we go. Damn, says Ron and Raleigh, set the Wayback Machine to 1950. Feels that way, doesn't it? And what if this grown adult beating a child uses a little more force than they knew they were using? I don't think you can beat a child humanely. But then again, you know, I'm just a big old sissy liberal that thinks that maybe beating children imposes things like trauma and stress. And just in case you were wondering why kids are fucked up sometimes, and why some places are more fucked up than others. Well, you can beat a kid in school in Arkansas, Kansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, and Wyoming. Well, shit, I can just about guess what's going to be on the agenda come dead of winter when the legislature meets in Charleston. This ought to be good. Wait, why ain't we on the beaten children list? We need to beat some. You know, we probably wouldn't have these little. You know what? I read that story. I read about that, about how West Virginia's got more trans kids than per capita than any other state in the union. And you know why? Because we ain't beating them enough. Lay into them good. How many licks, principal? Jesus. And we call ourselves a civilized country. How do other countries, I mean, you know, we're not the only country in the world that has misbehaving children. How do the Finns, who have the most enlightened educational system in the entire world, how do they handle a misbehaving child? Just leave them out in the snow for a while? Pretty sure they don't beat them. And yet they somehow have happy, well-adjusted people. Wait, we're not happy and well-adjusted. Oh. Yeah. Spare the rod and spoil the child, y'all. God, that's sickening. Kind of puts a whole new spin on the idea of the show-me state, doesn't it? Yeah, I'll show you some. Yeah, I'm going to show you the Board of Education. Jesus. So that's the program. Thanks for the challenges, and thanks for all the help, everybody. We will be at $1,300 tomorrow. But we'll be here tomorrow. God willing, as it were, Peruvian Pyramid meeting Wednesday. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to all of our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, Sparky. And thanks, Steve. Steve. Who wants people to know, yes, they did wash out the pitcher, too. Steve was afraid earlier that, you know, why didn't I, did they ever think to what? Yes, they washed the pitcher, too. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster if you're not already boosted. Wear your mask in crowded places. You do not want this crud. Found out today that one of my daughters, the assistant manager where she works, has brought COVID to the store. Sent a chill through me. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. With a note, to close the program, Jude says, these physical punishments in schools have led to the abuse now rendered here in our county as we're forced to view this current crop of national Christian fascists covered in the cloak of republicanism demands one to step up to a higher plane. Please invest in the energy, my family. And Randy Radar says, well, soon we'll be stoning them outside the city gates. Well, that's what the Bible says. Yeah. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.